You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
710 ESPN. This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Previewing all the NFL game odds to get you ready to wager each week on all the NFL action, college football, plus all the local teams and NBA action later this fall. This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN. And tonight's edition of Bet LA with Anita Marks is made possible by Teza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Teza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TezaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy.
Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Bet LA with Anita Marks right now.
What's up? What's up? Anita Marks with you. It is Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA. I'm back on the East Coast, was on the West Coast in L.A. I went to the Rams-Raiders game last week, spent some time in Las Vegas as well. Now back here watching this game play out, another Thursday night game, Seattle going up against the 49ers. To bring you up to speed, the 49ers are up 21-6. I actually, heading into this, I liked Seattle getting the 3.5. I liked the hook. I thought this would be a lot closer, and it very well could have been. Really, there are two key plays that took place in the first half that really, in my opinion, has dictated where we are right now at 21-6. So there was a missed interception from Diggs, one of the Seattle Seahawks DBs, and then the ball, obviously, San Francisco had to punt. They punted, and then Homer was in for Ken Walker and fumbled the ball, and then that resulted in a touchdown. So the 49ers went in at the half 14-3. Now they came out the second half. Kittle scored an immediate touchdown, his second of the night. Now I'm gonna get to some statistics, where a lot of these guys are at in regard to yards and touchdowns and whatnot, get you up to speed, especially for all you fantasy football freaks out there like me. We are in playoff mode right now when it comes to fantasy football. So I know, man, if you've got George Kittle, you've got to be really happy right now. Two touchdowns on the night. But nonetheless, 49ers have somewhat stalled. They just tried a field goal, and Robbie Gould missed the field goal. So now Seattle in a good position. Now there's only 4 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. Let me tell you something. This 49ers defense is just, they are sick. they're so fast. Speed kills. It really does. And they just, unfortunately, I just don't know. There's a lot of offenses out there that have the kind of speed that's going to be able to put up a lot of points against this 49ers defense. I really don't. I mean, this defense is just really, really good. But where we stand right now, Seattle, 1st and 10. They're on the 45-yard line. And they're driving the ball. They're trying to score. But again, this defense is just so fast. It's not an easy thing to do. 49ers, again, are up 21-6. Let's get you up to speed on some of the statistics out there. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Unbelievable, right? And now he very well could be engineering a third straight win for him under center for this 49ers team. And keep in mind, I mean, this is a 49ers team. They started with Trey Lance. He got injured, right? Then they went to Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo, broken ankle, broken foot, whatever the case may be. He's out. And now they go to Brock Purdy. Again, Mr. Irrelevant, drafted last. Absolutely last in his draft class, got the parade and everything, and now looking quite good. 17-25, 217 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 1 sack for a loss of 6. He's been scrambling tonight a few times. The Seattle Seahawks got into him, but was able to shimmy away. He's got a rating right now of 121.6, so not bad. By the way, Seattle just scored. So maybe my plus 3.5 is still in play here. And I would imagine that they're going to go for two to try to make this 21-14. I would imagine that that's what they're going to try to do. But, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, the quarterback position is such an important position in all of sport. I think the quarterback position is the most important. No, they're going for a field goal. So they're going for a field goal. So now it's 21-13. 21-13 is the score right now. With about 3:35 left in the game with the 49ers and of course Seattle. But to me, quarterback position, the most important position in all professional sport. And the 49ers, this is what's really perplexing. The 49ers go out and they give up the kitchen sink. I mean, they give up a ton of draft picks to move up to go get Trey Lance, who it's not that I shouldn't say I'm not a fan of. I just feel is not pro ready. Okay. You draft a quarterback, you give up that, I'm sorry. You give up that many draft picks. You move up to go get a quarterback. That quarterback better come in and start. And just Trey Lance is just not pro ready. And now because of this injury, I don't know if he's going to be ready next year. So now you're 3 years into your rookie deal with a quarterback that more than likely is not going to be ready because he just does not have the experience playing in the NFL at this pace, at this speed, in how the NFL operates, okay? So you were on the cusp of possibly trading Jimmy Garoppolo. Allegedly, nobody wanted him because of the shoulder surgery. He goes out with an injury, and now you have a quarterback that you drafted last overall come in and have this type of success in this offense? Man, if I'm a 49ers fan, if I'm the general manager, I'm not sleeping at night saying, what did we do? Why'd we give up all that draft capital to go get Trey Lance? For what? You had Jimmy Garoppolo. And now you got Mr. Irrelevant, who's on the cusp of winning three straight for you. Like, really? it's wild. Christian McCaffrey, where it stands right now, 24 carries for 99 yards and a touchdown. Chances are he'll break 100, I'm sure, on this very next play. I wouldn't doubt it. George Kittle, 4 receptions, 93 yards, 2 touchdowns. So if you have George Kittle in fantasy, kudos to you. You're heading into this weekend feeling really good about your fantasy team. That's for sure. Christian McCaffrey, 6 receptions for 30 yards. So one of my best bet on Daily Wager earlier this evening, hopefully you tune in, shameless plug, not so shameless, was Christian McCaffrey over 39.5 receiving yards. He's at 30. A big reason why they stopped passing the ball to him is because they've had this huge lead against the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know. Do they start passing the ball to him now? I highly doubt it. So, they're just handing the ball to him. And understandably so. Listen, you know, I don't want to be selfish here with my prop bet, but the Seattle Seahawks are one of the worst teams defensively against the rush. So, you know, this is the right play, especially hopefully Kyle Shanahan learned his lesson in that Atlanta Falcons Patriots Super Bowl, where he neglected to run the football when they were up by a gazillion points against the Patriots. And, of course, the Patriots came back and won that Super Bowl that we all, of course, I'm sure remember. So, as for the Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith, 173 yards, no touchdowns, but no interceptions. He's just been beat up all night. This offensive line has not given him any protection at all. Bosa's been in there just pounding Geno Smith. So it's been a rough night for him. Kenneth Walker, only 11 carries for 45 yards. The 49ers, one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. So no wonder he hasn't been able to do anything. Homer carried the ball once for 5 yards, but he fumbled it. So not getting the ball again. Geno Smith did have a rush quarterback run for about 18 yards. So there's that. In regard to wide receivers, Tyler Lockett, 7 for 68, targeted 8 times. tonight. DK Metcalf, 6 for 46, targeted 8 times tonight. Again, this 49ers defense is just so damn good. It's just next to impossible for the Seattle Seahawks to generate as good of an offense as they've had and as successful as the Seattle Seahawks have been this season offensively. Listen, they're 7-6 for a reason. Their playoff hopes are still alive tonight. And if they win this game, their playoff hopes. So here's, if the Seahawks win tonight, their playoff probability is 74%. If they lose, it's 31%. Just to give you an idea of, you know, just the magnitude of this game and where it stands right now. So it's just not looking good, by the way. The 49ers, it looks like Purdy just scrambled for a first down. And the 49ers with in both these teams, only one timeout left. So that doesn't bode well at all. Let's get you up to speed on what's going on in the NBA, because the Clippers are playing right now. And they're getting beat by the Suns. No surprise. The Clippers pretty much benched everyone, rested everyone tonight against the Suns. And there was some expectation that the Suns were as well going to have quite a Ayton and Booker and quite a few players who were not going to play, but they ended up being active. So I didn't really have a play in this because when the game started, when the ball was tipped off, the Suns were favored by 5.5. So I guess you could look at the active and inactive roster and just say, Anita, what do you mean? Why didn't you lay the money with the Suns at -5.5? I should have. My play was Bridges over 16.5 points. He's got 18 right now. I'm sorry. I take that back. He has 8 right now. So Mikal Bridges has 8 points right now for the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul is active. He's got 5. Booker's got 7. But again, the Clippers, Kawhi is out. Paul George is out. And so you've got a Suns team that is up on them 35-21. Memphis just destroyed the Bucks tonight, 142-101. This was a really big play for me. I loved the Memphis Grizzlies coming into this matchup. This was the main play for me on Daily Wager earlier tonight. Again, hopefully you did tune in. I also liked Ja Morant. I liked him over rebounds and assists combined, and that was at 14.5. He ended up with a total of 20. He ended up with a triple-double tonight, 25 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. This is I came across this in preparing for the show tonight. The Bucks at home have the 4th best offense in the NBA, on the road 30th. So they average about 121 points a game at home, but only 104 on the road. And sure enough, here they are with 101. I just felt Memphis more athletic, one of the best teams in transition, didn't feel that the Bucks could keep up with them. So if you did play Memphis, good for you. If you did play Morant over combined rebounds and assists, you were a winner there as well. And also, you've got Zion and the Pelicans going at it with the Utah Jazz. It is in the 4th, about 4 minutes left. Zion with 25 points. I did like the over of 26.5 points for him tonight. So he's at 25. With still about 4 minutes left in the game, so I'm assuming that hopefully he will surpass that point total. He only has 7 rebounds on the night. Pretty surprising for a guy who can dominate the paint, and 5 assists. So keep you up to speed. Again, Pelicans now up 112-109. Miami took care of Houston 111-108. And so that's your 4 NBA games on the slate tonight. Quick break. We come back. Again, I will keep you up to speed on what's going on with the Thursday night game. Also, let's start, you know, I always like to start the show just kind of recapping the events, what's going on tonight. But when we get back, let's start forecasting. Let's start talking about what's coming up. We've got a great show lined up for you. A lot of guests. Teron Davenport is going to join us. He covers the Tennessee Titans. Give us a preview of what's going on with the Titans and the Chargers matchup. Rob Demoski, who covers the Packers, is going to join us. A little preview of the Rams-Packers matchup. Ben Ruta, former Yankee. This segment sponsored by Tiza, with a little hot stove and a little futures plays in regard to Major League Baseball. Giants-Washington, big game, playoff feel intensity game. Whoever wins that game more than likely is going to advance and into the playoffs as a wild card. Fat Jack, professional handicapper, joins us on the show as always. So we've got a lot coming your way with you for the next 3 hours. You're listening to Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN, made possible tonight by Tiza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Tiza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TizaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy. Now more of Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Any extra emotion, any extra energy while playing tonight?
I thought it was just an awesome effort by our team today. I thought the defense did an incredible job battling, and, you know, despite being down a couple guys, those guys stepped up big time, and, you know, we never had any doubt about those guys going in there and stepping up. And, Josh, Mike, Keenan, Daryl, Dre, those guys just keep making plays on the outside. So to have an offensive line like we do and to be able to block it up, protect it, I thought it was good to see from all phases of our football team today.
Justin Herbert, as of course the Chargers getting ready to take on the Tennessee Titans. Teron Davenport's going to join us in the next segment, coming your way in about 10 minutes to do a deep dive into that preview with the Chargers and the Titans. By the way, the 49ers-Seattle game, it is over. 49ers win 41-13. So obviously, if you took the 49ers and you laid the 4.5, that's where you were a winner tonight. Unfortunately, that is not the way that I rolled. Unfortunately, Christian McCaffrey was held to 30 receiving yards. The over-under was at 39.5, so he did not reach that. It got to a point where, and I get it, it was the right move for Kyle Shanahan. You know, you're up by 2 touchdowns at that point. Just run the football, run the clock out, don't pass the ball, risk for an incompletion, stopping the clock. So totally understand why he did that. But now the Seattle Seahawks team, not in a good situation. So if they would have won tonight, their chances of making it to the postseason would have been 74%. Considering that they lost, now they're sitting at 31%. Let's take a look around again before we do this deep dive into the Chargers, of course, in Titans matchup. Which, by the way, Purdy, I've got the TV on, obviously, here in my studio, and he's walking through the tunnel and high fiving everyone. Again, can we just marinate it? Mr. Irrelevant, last dude taken in the draft, in his draft, now has won 3 games, has helped this 49ers team win 3 games. Meanwhile, they gave up the kitchen sink to go get Trey Lance. I just don't get it. But anyway, let's look big picture here before we start doing a deep dive into, of course, the local LA teams, because we also have Rob Demoski, who's going to join us, who covers the Packers, to give us some insight in regard to the Rams and the Packers in the second hour. But currently, the AFC playoff standings, if the season was to end today, okay, the Buffalo Bills would have the number one seed, Kansas City the 2, Baltimore the 3, Tennessee the 4th. So those would be the 4 teams that would be hosting their first game in the playoffs. Cincinnati would have the fifth seed. The Dolphins would have the sixth, and the Patriots would have the seventh. How about that? The Patriots sitting at 7-6, as god awful as they've been this season, they would get into the postseason. Unbelievable. The current NFC playoff standing: the Eagles with the number one seed, the Minnesota Vikings with the two, 49ers with the three, and that might change now that the 49ers won. So now they're 10-4. We'll see what happens with Minnesota this week. But again, this is prior. This information was sent to me by the NFL prior to obviously this game being played out tonight. The Bucs sitting at 4. They're 6-7. They're below 500. Just goes to show you how god awful that division is. The Dallas Cowboys at 5. So, and by the way, like I don't agree with the NFL system in regards to the postseason, how a 6-7 Tampa Bay Bucs team gets to host, where the Dallas Cowboys sitting at 10-3 have to go on the road. I think that there's a flaw in the system. I'm sure it'll never change, but it, just my two cents. Washington is sitting at 6, and the Giants are sitting at 7. And both those teams are sitting at 7-5-1. So if the season was to end today, these would be your 14 playoff teams. Okay? Teams with the most at stake this season, or not this week, week 15. The teams with the most at stake in week 15, the Giants and the Commanders. Again, both of them right now, if whichever team wins, has a 90% chance of making it to the postseason. Whichever team loses has a 35% chance of making it to the postseason. That's how significant that Giants-Washington game is on Sunday night. Just FYI, that's going to be a good one to watch. Trust me. The Chargers, as I said, 70% chance of making it to the postseason with a win against the Tennessee Titans, 27% chance of not making it to the postseason if they lose to the Tennessee Titans this week. Seattle with a loss, now they're sitting at 31%. The Patriots, they're going up against the Raiders. Chances of winning, of going to the playoffs with a win, 57%. They lose to the Raiders, drops to 22%. The Jets, 52% with a win against the Detroit Lions, 24% with a chance of not going if they do lose to the Lions. So those are teams with the most at stake heading into this week: Giants, Washington, Chargers, Seahawks, Patriots, and Jets. Now here's where hopefully I can help you win some money. Two of the closest division races are happening in the NFC and the AFC North, okay? So here's how those odds stack up. In the NFC South, the Tampa Bay Bucs right now, 74% chance of making it to the postseason where they stand right now. Carolina Panthers, 19. Atlanta, 6. New Orleans, 1. Now, you can bet that the Carolina Panthers make it to the postseason at 13-1. You can bet that Atlanta makes it to the postseason at 12-1. I like Carolina. Okay? I think Carolina's at home this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Carolina wins. They're favored by 3. The over-under is at 37.5. I just like Steve Wilkes, interim head coach, you know, trying to win that job to be considered to be the head coach next year. And he's playing with the right formula. And what is that? Run the football. Helps with play action, especially with Sam Darnold. Good, solid defense. And these guys are playing really hard for Wilkes. So at 13-1, I think it's a lot of value there for Carolina to win the division. Tampa Bay Bucs are god awful, and they're going up against Cincinnati this week. They're going to get destroyed. So I do like Carolina, 13-1. And the AFC North, how is it going to shake out? You got the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. Baltimore, 56% chance to win that division. Cincinnati, 44% chance of winning the division. With all due respect to Huntley and in Baltimore, and by the way, I do believe that Baltimore wins this week, okay? I do like Baltimore winning. But I think Cincinnati, they're just, I think they're the better team. And I think at the end of the day, Baltimore's in Cleveland, by the way. Cleveland's favored by 3. The over-under is 38. I'm just not thrilled with what I've seen from Deshaun Watson. I don't know about you. But nonetheless, so you can wager that the Baltimore Ravens are going to win the division at minus 145. I like Cincinnati to win the division at plus 115. You're getting plus money for a team that I feel is playing a lot better. Now, they've got one of the most difficult schedules remaining. Their last four games, they're going up against top 10 defenses, all four teams. But Joe Burrow and that offense has been absolutely electric. So, that's where, in regards to the division races, that is where my money is flowing. I'm going to go Carolina, again, 13-1 to win the NFC South. And I'm going to go the Cincinnati Bengals at plus 115 to win the AFC North. Okay? Some future bets there for you. Quick break. We come back. Teron Davenport will join us. We'll do a deep dive into this Chargers-Titans matchup. And of course, I'll have some plays for you in that game as well. So stay tuned. Anita Marks with you. It is Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA.
This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN, made possible tonight by Teza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Teza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TezaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy. Now more of Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Welcome back to Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA. Of course, we've got a big matchup. The Chargers going up against the Tennessee Titans. The Chargers favored by 3. The over-under is at 46.5. Teron Davenport, who covers the Tennessee Titans for ESPN, is joining us here on 710 ESPN LA. Teron, welcome in. We appreciate your time. Let's dive right into it. This is a Tennessee Titans team. They are in control of their own destiny. If the season was to end today, they'd be the number 4 seed in the AFC at 7-6, and they would host the first game, of course, their first round of the playoffs. But this is a team coming in to face the Chargers, coming off of 3 losses. Granted, 2 against the Bengals and the Eagles, 2 of the most explosive offenses and good teams right now in the NFL. But head scratcher in regard to the Jaguars losing 36-22. What happened there, man?
Yeah, it really came down to 4 turnovers, Anita. That's something you can't have. You look at the last 28 times teams were -3 in the turnover ratio. They're 1-27. And go figure, the Titans are one of those. So that was the big thing, the turnovers. You can't turn the football over 4 times and not get any turnovers.
Yeah, I would. Turnover is one of the biggest indicators, results in regard to win and losses in the NFL for sure. But let's start defense, because obviously for the Jags and Trevor Lawrence to put up 36 points against the Tennessee Titans defense, pretty solid amount of work there. So coming into this matchup, which, you know, we can sit here and we can argue and debate Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, better quarterback, all side on Justin Herbert. Now with Mike Williams back, right? Like, you know, what do you expect from this Tennessee Titans defense health-wise? Who's going to be active? Who's not? How do you think they'll be able to slow down that passing attack?
Yeah, sure. There's a chance that DeNico Autry will play. I talked to him today, and this was the day after he got his first work in practice, which is something that he hadn't done for quite some time, 2.5-3 weeks to be exact. And he said that the knee responded well. He doesn't look the same as far as his explosiveness, bending, and doing some of the things in the drills, but there's a possibility that he'll play. He's been limited the last 2 days, so you have that. You know, Christian Fulton, I doubt that he plays. The groin injury is just one that I don't think that is going to allow him to play this week. He was out last week, and he hasn't practiced on Wednesday or Thursday, so that one's likely not to happen. But fortunately, Trey Avery, the rookie corner out of Rutgers, has participated in practice, so there's a possibility there. So from the injury perspective, you know, that's kind of what you're looking at. I think really it's all about impacting the quarterback, and one of the things that they have to do is give Justin Herbert one pitcher pre-snap and another one post-snap, and that could help them get some turnovers. And what I mean by that, the Titans use a lot of too high safety looks. I would definitely show him that, but then at the snap, rotate Kevin Byard down into the middle of the field to play that robber role and see if you could get him to get in the passing lane and get an interception or some type of turnover. This team hasn't gotten a turnover since week 10, so they're due for that, and that's what they need to do, maximize those opportunities. Up front, get after the quarterback, impact them, possibly get that strip sack. That's something they haven't gotten in a while also.
Interesting stat that I came across while preparing for this game. So the Tennessee Titans, 1,400 fewer passing yards than their opponent. The Chargers, 813 fewer rushing yards than their opponent. So what the Chargers do poorly on defense is against the run, and obviously Derrick Henry is the straw that stirs the drink, obviously, in Tennessee. And what the Tennessee Titans do defensively bad is against the pass, and of course going up against Justin Herbert. My play here is the over. I think a lot of points are going to be put up in this game. Am I right?
I think there could be a lot of points put up in this game, and you're right. Both offenses are the kryptonite to each other's defense, so something's going to have to give. I would probably side on the way of passing the football. The Titans have just here you go, Anita. The last two quarterbacks the Titans have faced have won their respective conference player of the week. Jalen Hurts won at three. He dropped 380 on the Titans a couple weeks ago, so an NFC conference player of the week was him. And last week, Trevor Lawrence, it's a career high, 368 yards passing, career high three touchdowns, and he was the AFC. So the odds are that Justin Herbert will end up the AFC player of the week offensively if the Chargers have their way. We'll see what happens.
Wow. I wish that was a bet. I wish that was something that we could bet on.
Right.
Here's another one for you. Tennessee has allowed the second most touchdowns outside of the red zone at 11, but the Chargers have allowed the absolute most at 15. So again, I feel like I'm constantly uncovering these little nuggets in these statistics and these trends that lean towards the over, right? So I do believe that this very well could be an entertaining game, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. I would hammer the over for sure. And I'll be honest, you know, for selfish reasons, I hope the Titans are able to run the football because that will make the clock go a little bit faster. I have a flight after the game that I may have to, you know, O.J. Simpson through the airport too. So I'm hoping they run the football, if you feel me.
Have you been to SoFi Stadium yet?
Yes. I was there last year for Titans-Rams. It was, it was a Sunday night game, I think it was, or Monday night game. It was a primetime game, but I was there. Huge stadium. It's pretty cool. I liked it. Unfortunately, it's close to the airport as well.
Yeah, I was just there this last week. I was there for the Rams-Raiders game. I find it to be pretty breathtaking, that's for sure.
Yeah.
On the offensive side of the ball, you know, looking at Ryan Tannehill and obviously Derrick Henry, expecting big games from definitely Derrick Henry. But Treylon Burks, you know, a lot of hype coming into the season, dealt with some injuries. But whenever he's active and he's healthy, man, does this dude deliver. What should Charger fans expect from him this week?
Yeah, I doubt he plays, honestly. He's been under concussion protocol. That was a pretty vicious hit a couple weeks ago, you know, when Marcus Epps hit him. I'm surprised that Epps didn't get fined for that because it was definitely a vicious one. But I doubt that he plays. But if he's out there, I'll say this. There's no one on the Titans that attacks the football the way Treylon Burks does. You look at the catch he had when he got hurt. You know, he really went and snapped that out of the air. He did the same thing in the Bengals game. And if you want to look at numbers, he had three receptions in which the ball traveled 20 yards or more over a two-week period. And up to that point, the Titans only had one reception where it did that. So he's not only a guy that could catch the deep pass and attack it that way, he's also someone they like to use on that play-action strike route across the middle. It was the same play that A.J. Brown used to always make house calls off of. And he's their best guy doing that. Not having him, that takes away one of the bread and butter parts of the passing game. So with him not practicing Wednesday and Thursday and We haven't even seen him in the locker room, so I don't think it's likely that he'll be available on Sunday, and that'll hurt the Titans.
Hey, before we let you go, bigger picture here outside of gambling, and that is, you know the general manager getting fired after the Philadelphia game. How much control does Vrabel have with this franchise now?
I tell you what, that's the million-dollar question. And we asked him about that, and he said that any player personnel decisions are going to come down to conversations between himself and Ryan Cowden, who was the VP of player personnel, and he's been elevated to that quotation marks GM role. And if there's a dispute, they take it to Amy Adams Strunk, who's the team controlling owner. So that's kind of the way it goes. Mike Vrabel said that he wasn't informed of the decision he was informed of the decision, but he wasn't informed that that was something that was pending. In other words, he didn't know about it until that decision was made. That's what he said. So there have been some discussions about a power struggle between the two. I've pried a bit and been pushed down that direction, but as of right now, there's nothing concrete that there was a power struggle or anything going forward.
Thank you so much, Teron. Really appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, no problem. Always a pleasure to talk shop with you, so I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Teron Davenport, always doing a phenomenal job covering the Tennessee Titans as they get ready to take on the Chargers. Again, Chargers favored by 3. The over-under is at 46.5. My play is the over. I'll tell you all the reasons why when we come back right here on 710 ESPN LA.
This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN, made possible tonight by Teza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Teza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TezaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy. Now more of Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Team effort on defense. It was an incredible team win for us. Incredible team effort on defense. It was an incredible team win for us. I think that if you guys were at the game, you just saw the confidence our guys were playing with, how hard we played tonight. That's what I'm really proud of, is how hard we played and how connected we were. I felt like defensively we just answered all the challenges in the game that we had to face. You know, obviously they're having a tremendous year offensively. We got a lot of weapons. We're down on, you know, a ton of guys, but I think that the way our guys competed out there, you saw the competitiveness within our program and guys trying to prove themselves and showcase themselves to the league, and then also showcase our defense to the league, that we're up for the challenge.
Coach Staley, talking to the media, getting ready, getting his troops ready for this game against Tennessee. Like I said last segment, big implications here for the Chargers. Need to win to keep their playoff hopes alive, that's for sure. Again, with a win, 70% chance they make it to the postseason. With a loss, 27%. That's how important this game is against Tennessee this week. I'm going to do a deeper dive into all the plays, how I'm going to be playing this Tennessee Chargers game in just a second. Just want to bring you up to speed on some NBA scores. Again, the Grizzlies took care of the Bucks, 142-101. Ja Morant was just unbelievable with a triple-double tonight, 25-10-10. The Heat beat the Rockets 111-108. Right now, the Pelicans and the Jazz in OT with about 3 minutes left. The Jazz up 125-123. If you recall earlier in the show, I liked Zion over 26.5 points. He's at 27 points right now, 8 rebounds and 7 assists. And the Clippers playing absolutely no one tonight. Talk about load management. No Kawhi, no Paul George, losing to the Suns. The Suns are up 64-37 at the half. So that's your score. Also, if you're just tuning in, the 49ers took care of the Seattle Seahawks tonight, 21-13. Really, the two crucial plays happened in the first half, where Diggs, one of the DBs for Seattle, had an interception thrown right to his number, and he couldn't catch it. But isn't that like the way that I typically we see, like, the easiest passes to catch or to intercept are typically dropped, and then the most astonishing catches are made. But needless to say, not pulling off that pick, and then the following offensive play after the 49ers punted the ball, Travis Homer fumbled the ball, and the 49ers were able to capitalize and score on that. So two crucial plays that, you know, if the 49ers would have intercepted the ball, I think it would have been a closer game. I think it would have played out differently. I think the Seattle Seahawks plus 3.5 would have covered, but of course it did not. So again, the 49ers 21-13. So now they have clinched a playoff spot to move forward. And we will definitely see that unbelievable 49ers defense in the postseason, that's for sure. As for Tennessee and the Chargers, if you're listening to the last segment with Teron Davenport, my play here is the over for all the reasons that I discussed with Teron, and that is, you know, what the Tennessee Titans do well, and that's run the football with Derrick Henry, is what the Chargers do absolutely worst on defense, and that is stopping the run. What the Chargers do well on offense, and that's Justin Herbert, and he's just unbelievable. And of course, now that Mike Williams is back, active and attractive, the Tennessee Titans do absolutely the worst on defense, and that's pass defense. So again, this is a Tennessee Titans team. They are minus 1,400 fewer passing yards than their opponent. That was a dramatic pause. I mean, just marinating that for a minute. 1,400 fewer passing yards than their opponent. As for the Chargers, they are negative 813 fewer rushing yards than their opponent. So this is a Tennessee Titans team. They've given up 71 points their last 2 weeks. They can't stop a runny nose, and they're certainly not going to stop Justin Herbert. Also, Tennessee has allowed the second most touchdowns outside of the red zone with a total of 11. But you know who's allowed the most? Yes, the Chargers at 15. So combined, these two teams have allowed 26 touchdowns from outside the red zone. So again, I really do believe the play here is the over. And if you could get that at 46.5, great. I mean, you get it at 47.5, I'd still play it. Also, I do like the team total over of 24.5 points for the Chargers. I would play that as well. I think the Chargers are going to, I think both these teams, obviously, if I'm playing the over, I think both these teams are going to put up a solid amount of points. But I do like the over 24.5 points for the Chargers. Also, Justin Herbert, he's averaging 47 dropbacks a game. And Tennessee opponents are passing the ball more against Tennessee than any other team in the NFL. Why? Because their defense has just got awful against the pass. So now you've got Herbert who's averaging 47 passing attempts a game. I wouldn't be surprised if that goes up to 50, to be quite frank, against this Tennessee team. They're giving up the most passing yards in the NFL. I mean, and you heard what Teron had to say. Jalen Hurts went up against Tennessee. He won NFC quarterback, NFC player, offensive player of the week. Trevor Lawrence goes up against Tennessee. He wins offensive player of the week. So now, you know, is it Justin Herbert's time this week? I believe it is. The over-under for him, by the way, you can bet that he's going to toss more than 1.5 touchdown passes at minus 190. Might be a little bit too much juice. It is for me. I don't typically like to put that much juice. What does that mean? For folks that are listening right now, what do you mean juice? It means if it's minus 190, I have to lay $190 down to win $100. Okay? I have to lay $190 down to win $100 that Justin Herbert's going to pass two touchdowns, have two passing touchdowns. But here's where I think you can win some money. And I do believe that Justin Herbert is going to pass for over 300 yards against this Tennessee Titans defense. So if you believe in that, 301.5, that's what the line is right now. So over 301.5 passing yards for Justin Herbert is -115. So you're laying $115 down to win $100. So I would certainly play that. With Mike Williams back, man, he's you know, you just feel it, you see it, you know the difference, right? Tennessee has allowed 10 yards per target to opposing wide receivers. So Mike Williams over 65.5 receiving yards. I certainly like that as well. Now, as for Derrick Henry, going up against this really porous Chargers rush defense, over 98.5 rushing yards. You can get that at -115. Again, laying $115 down to win 100. Derrick Henry over 98.5 rushing yards. So I know it's a lot of overs here, and typically a lot of people don't like to play overs. I'm someone who I do like to play overs because I like to root for dudes to do well as opposed to dudes to do poorly. And also, again, more than any other matchup on the slate this week, both these offenses coming to the table, doing things exceptionally well offensively, which their opponent does extremely poorly on the defensive side of the ball. So again, quick break before we do, just to recap, my big play here is the over at 46.5. I also like the Chargers team total points over 24.5 points. Justin Herbert over 301.5 passing yards. Mike Williams over 65.5 receiving yards, and Derrick Henry over 98.5 rushing yards. That's how I'm playing this bad boy, the Chargers going up against Tennessee. Quick break. We come back and we kick off hour number two. Rob Domowski is going to join me. He's been covering the Packers for a long time for ESPN. He does a phenomenal job. And we talk about the matchup coming up against the Rams. So stay tuned for that. We also have Ben Ruta, former Yankee, now with Teza. This segment will be brought to you by Teza. We talk a little hot stove, some of the moves that have been made, and we look forward to some of the Major League Baseball futures bets out there as well. And we do a deep dive into the Giants-Washington matchup. Big, you talk about a playoff feel game on Sunday night. I'm sure folks are going, Giants-Washington, why? Why that game? Well, because whoever does win that game more than likely is going to make it to the postseason as a wild card. Whoever does lose that game more than likely is done for the season. So that's going to be a playoff atmosphere, feel vibe game on Sunday night. So we'll dive into all that hour two coming your way. It is BetLA here on 710 ESPN LA.